Lord, we thank you for the gifts of your word. And as we think on these things, open our hearts and minds to hear your word to us. Amen. Amen. James tells us to be patient. Salvation takes its time. Some things just can't be rushed. The Lord enters into our lives slowly, or should I say, we realize the Lord in our life slowly. I did not wake up one morning and realize that God had arrived in my heart, like the friend who rings the doorbell 100 times and walks in and says, "Honey, I'm home." That's not how God works. No, it's a much slower process. James talks about planting and watering and growing. Gardening can be a slow process that takes love and care by the gardener. Mostly it takes time and patience. Ultimately, the seeds of faith take root and produce a bountiful harvest, a gift that not only nourishes you, but also can nourish and produce the seeds of salvations for people in our lives. My mom would say that patience was not a virtue that I had. Once I make up my mind, I want that thing done almost immediately. I can sometimes become frustrated when life doesn't go the way that I planned. Some might know that I am a control freak. As an engineer, it is extremely hard for me to let things go. Luckily, several years ago, through a lot of reflection, I realized that I was never in control. I was a leaf in a stream. I was going wherever I was called. There was an inertia in my life that has propelled me to this very spot, to this very day. Moreover, I didn't have to do anything but other than be open to the call and know that the call was true. Has anyone ever walked a labyrinth? I love doing it. Labyrinths to me are a fantastic metaphor for life and the journey that we're on. When you enter into a labyrinth, sometimes you're so close to that center, that goal, that you can almost touch it. Then you make a left and you seem to be going away from it. You can almost touch it. Some of us are so fixated on getting to the center, the goal, that we miss the journey that we're on. We miss that highway that we heard about earlier. We miss the wonderful things and the people along the way. Being so focused on the destination or salvation, we can become oblivious to the journey. Because it seems so far, we can sometimes become indifferent or inattentive towards salvation or even our own personal spirituality. We think, "I'm not at the end of my road. I don't need to get my life in order. I've got time." James is allegedly or believed to be Jesus' younger brother, the leader of the believers in Jerusalem. All the other disciples have gone out, and James is left in Jerusalem to take care of the believers there. Could you imagine being Jesus' younger brother? Always being compared to him? No pressure there. Anyways, James is very concerned in his writings about living in a community. A theme that runs through most of his writings is making the right choice on the paths of life. And he's focused on the kingdom of God here on earth. Because we are walking through the kingdom of God every day, the seeds of salvation are growing all around us, and all we have to do is look at them. If we become so indifferent and so inattentive to these seeds, we will miss the gifts of God all around us. We need only stop and marvel at God's handiwork. You can see it in the smile of someone at the food pantry. You can see it in the eyes of a person at a hospital when you walk into the hospital room. You can feel it in the hug or a handshake. When a person that you're with realizes that they're not alone, that they're loved, and that they're valued. The kingdom is not far away. It is here, today, right now. Sometimes when I read the gospel out loud, I hear more than just the words. I hear the words and the meaning in today's context. When I was reading Matthew's gospel of John the Baptist, who is in prison, we all know that several years ago, John baptized Jesus, so he fully knew who Jesus was. Nevertheless, he asked one of his people to ask Jesus if he is the Messiah. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? And Jesus answers him, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are clean, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are given good news. When I hear the words aloud, I realize that Jesus is still making the deaf hear and the blind see today. We are on the kingdom, and with patience we will hear God all around us, in the breezes, in the laughters of a baby, in the voices of our choir. We will see God all around us. This summer, the children saw God all around us, and they took pictures. They have proof that God is all around us. Whatever paralyzed you will be gone. Whatever made you unclean will be washed away. We can walk through the nurturing, lush kingdom of God, knowing that we are on a journey that is protected. We can hear, we can have our blind eyes open, our hunched over spirits lifted up, the deaf ears unblocked, and the deep hungers fed. We can know God's justice, and we can sing of joy. Sometimes I struggle to find the words that will touch a person who cannot see that they are wonderful, perfectly imperfect children of God. I try to find ways to let the person know that who is lost to hear God's voice leading them home and to hear that they are loved. I search for those magic words to tell a person who is paralyzed with fear and regret that they are already saved. Jesus did all the heavy lifting when he sacrificed himself for us. All we have to do is believe and let God into their lives. This Advent season, think about this. If Epiphany, the season of Epiphany, is about who Jesus is, Advent might just be about who we are. How we live in our community, how we can flourish in the kingdom of God right here, right now. I am asking you to let go of the fears and preconceived notions that you may have about people, about the world, and most importantly, about yourself. Let the miracles of the Holy Spirit open your eyes, open your ears to the kingdom of God today. Amen.